Ramsey TV.
This calling is real. You are not dreaming it up. You are not a wishful thinker. This life, on the other hand, is the thing that is fragile and fading. This life, as important as it seems now, as in your face as it is fragile and fleeting. Our experiences here, when we look back at them, will seem as a dream in the night, and that is our worst trials, including our worst trials. Those things which we now think or wonder how we will overcome, how we'll get through it, when we look back on them, and yes, we will look back on them from the position of the right hand of God, the position of glorification, they will seem as distant as a dream in the night. Because after you wake up from a dream, you barely remember it. You remember little bits, and you say, I just had this dream. I was in the kitchen with my mom and dad at the old house. And you can recover fragments of it. And you want to, as soon as you wake up from a dream, don't you want to retain fragments? And then by the time an hour has passed, you've forgotten it completely. Yet it has made an impression on you. Thus, also, this life from the perspective of immortality and glory. We will remember fragments of it, and we will want to assemble them, and we'll be enabled to. But if you think life is fragile now, and if you think life is fading now, wait till you see it from the perspective of glory. It's going to seem so wispy. However, having said that, I don't mean to say that the things it produced, the things that this life produced and the trials produced, because everything, your whole experience, your whole future enjoyment of glory is based solely on, one, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and two, your experience with evil and my experience with evil. Absolutely essential. Every single trial tailor-made for you. These things will completely inform or shape or really define our future magnificence. So in that sense, they will never go away. But in another sense, talk about soft focus. All these trials will be so soft focused that it will be like a dream in the night. I mean, that is a, think of this. That is a spirit-inspired analogy of how we will look back on this life. It will seem like a dream in the night. And we have indications of this in life. Think of the worst trials you've been through. You look back from a distance of the passage of time, and they're become soft focused. You can talk about them without breaking down in tears like you did when the thing happened. Why is that? How is that? Because the passage of time is a great healing factor. You still have the scars of the terrible experience of the trial. But those are badges, the scars from your previous trials. I would go as far as to call them badges of glory. Just as our Lord's crucifixion injuries are badges of glory, of purpose, of a job well done. So I think that we will carry, in some sense, battle scars into the next life as trophies, not as grim remembrances, not as occasions for bitterness, but as trophies. Because I believe that even though our Lord Jesus Christ can take different forms at different times, we will no doubt see him in a glorious form, but I think also, upon request, we will be able to see his human form, and we, like Thomas, will be able to see his crucifixion injuries, because these are badges of honor, of glory, battle scars of the greatest battle ever fought and won. Everything we're going through is working toward us winning. Not losing, but winning. The trick is to appreciate these trials now in the light of what you know they will become later. We know from the scriptural examples I've given you that this life will be as a dream in the night. And even from our own experience of trials that are distantly in the past, they're kind of soft focused. We know that in our future glorified state, we will look back upon these things and we will be like, I remember that. That was interesting, whatever. And we will be able to glory in them. The trick is to glory in them now. The trick is that as you're going through them, to see them from that future perspective, knowing that, guarantee you, at that time, they will seem like soft-focused little events in your life that you almost barely remember. Like a dream in the night, you barely remember it. Well, oh, yeah, wait a minute. Yeah, I went through that divorce. Yeah, I remember that. Wow, yeah. Somebody will have to remind you of it. You'll be grabbing for the details because it's like, wait a minute, yeah. At the same time, that evil being an essential ingredient in your happiness in the future. Just a little perspective on trials there. I intended here this early morning hour at 5:15 a.m. I intended to go right to Galatians, and yet I felt that I needed to give you this perspective on trials. Actually, that's not true. I give this to you because I need it. Because I need it. I don't give you anything that I don't need myself. I'm never this person who is on high, lecturing you concerning things that I have attained and that someday hopefully you can be like me. No, I'm going through this thing with you. And as things occur to me from the scriptures that help me, such as this life being as a dream in the night from a future perspective, I give them to you. And I've said this to you before, but I kid you not, as I ministered to myself, as I ministered to you, and I myself watch these shows days later or weeks later or months later, and the truth is the truth, and I benefit from it as much as you do. I left off last week in Galatians chapter 5, for freedom Christ frees us. And then Paul says, stand firm in the freedom. We have to continuously remind ourselves that we're free in Christ, because we're constantly badgered by guilt in our own mind, by shortcomings that we remind ourselves of every day. Why is it we remind ourselves every day of our shortcomings instead of reminding ourselves every day of what God says concerning us? Yeah, that's a real challenge. I understand that, because our future seems dim and our present seems large. But in fact, our future is large. It is looming. It is coming at the door. And it is our trials, Paul says, that are insignificant compared to the glory. Do you remember I told you, some of you may not have heard this, but when my dad was flying private aircraft back in the 70s, he owned a Beechcraft Bonanza, but I think at the time he was training in a Cessna 150. Very small, single-engine plane, four-seater, and I remember him telling me that he was taxiing down the runway one time, possibly with an instructor, and he heard this rumble behind him, and he felt this looming presence. He looks behind him, because there's no rearview mirrors on Cessna 150s or any other airplane. He looks behind him, and he sees the nose wheel of an airliner. I'm going to call it a 747. So can you imagine being in this tiny little plane and you look behind you and all you can see is the nose wheel of a 747 behind you? That is my analogy for what is looming. We are in this little tiny thing called life where we're being given these experiences that will be essential for our future glory. But this life is so small, so temporary, so fragile, that in comparison, of what's coming, it's practically nothing. And what is looming ahead is this giant. I mean, in my analogy, it was behind him, but let's say behind him, coming up, behind him, coming up. What is coming up for us is so big, so large. I don't know about you, but I am feeling, I don't rely on feelings, but I'm just reporting. I sense something huge looming in our very, very, very near future. And to use the analogy, it's nose wheel. Just the very smallest part of it fills our scope of expectation. But behind that nose wheel is a giant craft, the size of which, the glory of which, the luxury of which we can only now dimly appreciate. But it's huge, and it's coming, and it's bearing down. And I'm not talking about the tribulation, that's bearing down too, but I'm talking about the glory. We don't look forward to tribulation. We don't look forward to trial. No, that's not our expectation. We have not been given an expectation of trial. We have not been given an expectation of traumatic experiences, loss, pain, suffering. We go through these things, but our expectation is glorification, is being relocated. Yes, we are being relocated. And this is the thing that is looming, that in, to me, is overshadowing this life and giving it perspective, but only as I contemplate the thing that is coming. And that thing is the snatching away of the body of Christ. But that's the event. So it's not just the event. It's, I believe, this thing that I'm sensing is not the event itself, now that I'm explaining this to you. It's the place. It's the place. The event, the snatching away, is simply the means of taking us to a place. We talk about this snatching away as like, oh, the snatching away. Christ will come down as he did before, right? He's done it before. It's not that fantastic to think about, because it's happened before. Christ came to earth. He was glorified. His disciples saw him on a mountaintop glorified. The Mount of Transfiguration. We know that he went up into heaven in front of their eyes after his resurrection. He ascended to heaven. They saw him going up into the sky, as fantastic as that seems. He disappeared from their view at the Mount of Olives. So Christ coming down for us, it's, that's what he does. He comes down. That's what he does. It's not so fantastic. This is the same one who walks on water, who raises the dead. Why wouldn't he come down from heaven and take us? But think of this. That is, we anticipate this event, and we make it such a large thing. Oh, we're looking forward to the snatching away. Ladies and gentlemen, this is simply the taxi showing up. This is the taxi showing up at our door. It's the transport system. It's the tunnel. It's the pickup point. It's our Uber. Your ride is here. Zender, your ride is here. Christ showing up and transforming our bodies. Transform our bodies. That's the taxi picking us up. That's our Uber showing up at the door. He has to change our body. It's totally practical. It's nothing to him. The whole goal is to take us to where he lives. That's the big thing that's looming. The place and the placing. It's not the change. Oh, I want to be changed. Christ is like, I gotta change him in order to take him to this place. I have to change him first, because if I don't change him, of course, their bodies as presently constituted, flesh, bone, and blood, cannot inherit immortality. They can't see my home in these bodies. They would be crushed to powder. The glory is too much for them. So I have to change their bodies. Simple thing. Simple thing. At a word, he brings life into Lazarus. That's a simple thing for him. Simple thing. I need to change their bodies. But in order to change their bodies, I have to, well, show up. So I'm going to show up. That's nothing for him. He shows up. And then he changes our bodies. It's nothing for him. I don't know what to compare. It's like a preliminary. It's like you and I, like before we go on vacation, we have to make sure we have our passport, and we have to make sure, you know, if you're going to some crazy country in Africa, you have to have your vaccination or whatever. It's just like the preliminary. Okay, I got that. I got now. I'm going on this trip. So Christ's coming is just... I think it's significant that Paul gives it such little ink. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 describes the snatching away. Paul does it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Two passages. But I think if we looked at the word glory, it's just a far bigger thing. So, not that I don't want us to not... glory in the snatching away, but the snatching away is not the thing. It's just a necessary prelude to the thing. And the thing is being taken to a place, a literal physical place, somewhere that is not on this earth. I mean, way not on this earth. And the snatching away is just the passport. It's just the inoculation. It's just the Uber showing up at your door. It's phase one. Phase 0.5 of what Christ is really looking forward to, which is showing us our new digs, showing us our new headquarters, showing us our new home, showing us our new position. That is the giant thing that even now is rumbling, even now is coming. And let that specter of greatness, that rumbling coming glory, let that replace the tiny, fragile, insignificant trials that you are now enduring. Because soon, these things will pass away at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to take us to our rightful home.